Chapter 5.
I never cease to wonder at the efficiency of the Tau. Only days later, and the battle for Agrellon was at full spate. It was late afternoon where we were. Already 10 of the 12 hives, Charon included, had fallen to Shadow Sun's first strike hunter carders in a single day. Those kinds of rapid gains must have taken the Imperial brass totally by surprise. As history proves, the remaining two cities would not hold out long. I'd heard that the Imperials had begun evacuating the planet the moment Shadow Sun attacked. Clever, that, as our forces were committed elsewhere, too spread out to do much about it. I suppose that's the benefits of having your army commanded by a Space Marine chapter master. He gave Shadow Sun a run for her money, all right. The Imperials were pulling back all their assets to Agrellon Prime, where they were being ferried into orbit. Their fleet was away over that side of the planet, well out of our line of view, holding position over Agrellon Prime and keeping the Tau battle group back while their warriors were pulled out of the fire. I wondered if the Imperials were going to offer to take the civilian population away with them, and I wondered how many of the civilians would accept that offer. Most of the fighting was away from us, but the ground rumbled with distant artillery bombardments, and flights of sun sharks screamed overhead periodically. There were few warriors at our position, but the Earthcast support work group was busy all around us. The invasion hadn't even concluded, and already the Earthcast were busily constructing a spaceport. Hell, they were building a city. I'm sure pre-existing ground-to-orbit facilities had been identified as key targets for various teams in the carders, but these assets were as much a liability for the Tau. Most of them were close by or built onto the hive cities. As such, guaranteeing their security was nigh on impossible. The cities were vast, and no matter how quickly the armed forces capitulated or were routed, the hives were occupied by fractious populations. Not everyone was going to see the Tau as a liberating power. The hives would take days to fully pacify. The spaceports and landing pads would be prime targets for every fanatic with a bomb and a death wish. And the Tau couldn't risk their constructor groups or administrators coming under attack. Boo had also told me that the Earthcast was amazed, in a very bad way, at the hive cities. Some ambitious plans were mooted to convert them, but as Boo said, it'd take a long time to make them fit for the greater good. And in any case, the population of the world was going to be greatly reduced, as the Earthcast calculated Agrellon was well over its optimum population loading. He confided to me that personally, he'd prefer to see them dismantled, but he didn't think that was going to happen. The Third Sphere advance was progressing too quickly to take the time to do it. To get round this lack of secure facilities, in usual Earthcast fashion, they were going to build a new city under fire in little under 3 days. As we were mere Guervesa and not entirely to be trusted, we were assigned rear line duties. In our case, guarding the site of this new settlement, named prosaically Mugulath Efuve, Mugulath First Bridgehead. Not very poetic. The Earthcast. I can't say I was completely disappointed. Space Marines have been present on the planet since the first Imperial reinforcement. White Scars, so I understand, although I never saw any of them. But more had come. Raven Guard, their leader taking command of the whole counter-invasion force. Only a few hundred all told, if that, but that's more than enough. You have to understand that to citizens of the Imperium, the Adeptus Astartes are the stuff of myth, almost gods, and we're scared of them. They're called the Angels of Death for good reason. There were a few fire warrior teams, real warriors as far as the Tau were concerned, but I'm not convinced. I know I'm on dangerous ground here, but I reckon you've enough to shoot me already in this recording should you decide I'm not sufficiently obedient. I've noticed that when battles go in against fire warriors, they've got less staying power than men. I'm looking forward to the time that we Gwela are trusted enough to take up front-line work with the likes of the Malkor and the Thraxians. We've a lot to give, not least flexibility. Anyway, that's something I've been badgering Fire Warrior Command about whenever I'm able. I doubt I won them over. They must have judged the time right, because we will be shipping out to the front as soon as my vocal grafts take. I can't wait. I really can't. I can't say all my messages and petitions did the job, but maybe what convinced them is partly down to what happened there, at Mugulath Efuve. Shadow Sun began her attack early in the morning. By local noon, Earthcast construction teams were clearing the area and beginning to erect the first buildings. The first to come down under attack was a lifting unit bearing the four-story central command node. Somehow it deposited its load and got away before it got shot down. With the command node down, everything sped up. Flights of lifters brought in Earthcast equipment, and as soon as they were down, they started laying the road network out. Enemy aircraft were cleared soon after, and we had clear skies for the Earthcast to bring their heavier units in. By mid-afternoon, the streets had all been laid out. Foundations were dug and basing modules in place, and more prefabricated buildings were being shipped in by the Aircast. The place was swarming with construction drones, engineers, and several hundred alien members of the Tauva. There was an ethereal on site, Aun Kira, up in the command node overseeing it all, which goes to show how certain we were of victory. We were co-opted into patrolling the perimeter, but we were there in the first place because our poor El Skilltalker was stationed at First Bridgehead. A large part of the complex was given over to reprocessing, and there were several water casks there. Confident of capturing many prisoners, or experiencing mass surrenders, and mindful of the vast populations of Agrellan's 12 hives, the reprocessing centres had been put up first. By early evening, we'd already had over 10,000 captured Imperial soldiers brought to the facility, processed, and we were beginning to ship those who were willing to pledge their loyalty to the Tauva out. It's harsh what happened to those as didn't, but that's war. They had their choice. It was just after we heard that Agrellan II had fallen to the Carders we were attacked. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure this incident has been played over and again at the High Command. There were half a dozen or so bridgeheads constructed by the Earthcast teams. Why ours was the only one attacked was way above my command tier to know for sure at the time, although it became all too clear. In the immediate aftermath, my suspicions were that this was no attack of opportunity. And yeah, in light of what happened later, I should have acted on them. I admitted that fair and square at the debriefing. I was still in a situation then where I didn't feel it my place to speak up and contradict my superior's predictions. Commander Ohai Esera herself told me to my face that that should never happen again, that I should speak my mind, and that my being a Guevesa made no difference, that we are all equals fighting for the greater good. More than that, she said that I would have much deeper understanding of the Gwela, because I am Guevesa, and that my opinion would therefore be valued. I am learning, I swear. Still, hindsight's a marvellous thing. There was one Carder stationed to protect First Bridgehead, along with five Kroot kindreds, my Laurua, two other Guevesa auxiliary teams, and one Thraxian close melee. Around two companies' strength in Imperial Guard terms, I guess. We didn't see the attack coming at all. Why would we? We were a long way behind the rapidly shrinking main lines. The Imperials had been taken unawares despite being prepared, and their evacuation was well underway when we started on First Bridgehead. I'd have thought a Carder backed up by gunships and one of the new Riptides would be enough to dissuade anyone. But those Catachans are not easily intimidated. I was patrolling the southern perimeter with my team when it happened. The woods were evil, gave us all the spooks. I was glad of the Vezron turrets watching the shade of the woods. Evil place, even in the broad light of day. There was no undergrowth so far as I could tell. Only the trees grew, and their pale trunks marched off into a smeary kind of grey that was unpleasant to look too deeply into.
Local wildlife's keeping a low profile, said Helena.
Good job, said Goliath. It's not friendly.
Do they know what they're doing here? Choosing this world? Gives me the creeps, what you Imperials do to your planets, said Othelia. As always, that note of anger was clear in his voice.
By they, you mean us, Othelia, and by you, you mean them. I'm no Imperial, nor is Helena or Goliath. We're all in the Tau Var. You seem to be willfully forgetting that. He mumbled something that might have been an apology. Holian laughed. Emperor knows why. What's that? Said Goliath. He pointed out to the edge of the forest. Something was moving there. Halt, I said, bringing the La Rua to a stop. I zoomed my lenses in to the movement at the fringe of the trees. Native life, I said. A large cat-like thing with a flat head and six legs was prowling along the edge of the forest.
Look at that thing, said Goliath. Nasty looking.
I've seen bigger and I've seen worse, said Holion dismissively.
How anything can live here without a respirator beats me, said Goliath.
It does not appear well, said Helena.
No, I said. She was right. Its grey fur was matted and in places fallen out to show scab skin. When I had my helmet zoom at maximum, I could see sores showing pretty much all over it. One of the middle pair of legs was withered.
Should it look like that, Vray?
Said Helena. Well, beats me. I don't know if the local life is hexapedal or whether it's a quadruped with some kind of mutation. I'm no biologist. Go ask the Earthcast. Helena laughed.
They're kind of busy, and the ones hereabouts are the wrong sort.
Well, fine, then. You'll have to save it. We watched the animal slink off. In spite of its size, it didn't appear to be much of a threat. Even so, the closest Vezron turret tracked it pretty carefully until it had vanished into the trees. We resumed our patrol. Maybe for about a half deck. We'd settled into a steady, diligent sweep when alarms suddenly went off everywhere. That's when we heard the first report.
All units, stand ready. We are under attack, we are under attack.
We looked around like idiots, searching for the source of the disturbance. The south side was silent, alarms clanging out from the Vezron turrets and our helmet earpieces aside. There was no movement at all. We couldn't even hear anything, and for the time being, the constant activity of the Earthcast behind us went on uninterrupted. I checked in.
Command, command! This is Guevesa La Rua 8448. We see nothing. What are our orders?
There was a pause before O Hai Isera answered me personally.
They attack the north side. Proceed swiftly to reinforce Shazla La Rua Goeva Hinaka.
What's their target? I asked. The translation units in my helmet convey my words to my commander.
They're going for the reprocessing centre, she said. The Gwela slay Gwela to prevent their joining of the Tau Var. This is abominable.
She was right. It seemed petty, but then she didn't know the Imperium like we did. How vindictive it could be. I think we appall you. Signs of combat were becoming apparent. The three Hammerhead gunships that had been patrolling over our heads on the south were heading directly over the centre of First Bridgehead for the north side. Earthcast were abandoning their tasks with the iron efficiency with which they do everything. Machines were setting themselves down, protective energy shields going up around them, blast doors and shutters closing over their vulnerable parts. We ran. The site was 4 kilometres across. When we'd made the centre, Earthcast were making their way in orderly lines to the central command node, where they'd find shelter in its bunker. We had to shove our way through them. Flights of drones whizzed over us. We could hear the gunfire now, the high-pitched whine of pulse weaponry, the crack of lasguns. The drone emplacements around the command node were belting out a high rate of fire toward the north. A trio of mortar rounds exploded nearby, showering us with dirt. We ducked into a crouch and ran on. Another larger shell came close in afterwards, hit in the middle of a line of earthcast we'd just shoved through and lofting body parts, mud and shattered construction matrices into the sky. The shockwave caught us, sending me sprawling. Goliath helped me up. Helena and Holion were a few paces away, helping wounded earthcast. Athelia was a problem, sprinting toward the battle.
"You okay, boss?" said Goliath.
I shook off his hand.
"Athelia! Athelia! Fall back into formation now!"
I felt a little woozy. Med teams were running all over the place, hauling shocked Fiola to their feet and pushing them toward the command node. They took over from Helena, who was trying to stem the flow of blood from the neck of a Fiola, and she rejoined us. Holion came in close after. Of Athelia, there was no sign.
"Come on! We're one gun down as it is. We need Athelia!"
I shouted into my Vox pickup.
"Back here now, La Athelia!"
A network of shield drones came swooping in, throwing a protective energy umbrella over the remaining earthcast as they ran into the broad slot doors around the command node. Shells, ranged now, slammed into the energy envelope surrounding the structure. A couple got through the shields, but did little more than turn the smooth white of the exterior smoky black. Others exploded among the drones. Three fell from the sky with a clang, sending up sparks and smoke. But they did their job, and the remainder of the Fiola made it to safety. We were away from the central section then, off up one of the radial roads and into the battle proper. Lines of fire warriors had taken up station around the northern edge. The Imperials had chosen their time and location well. The land for first bridgehead had been cleared. The site was circular, and the construction patterns, the processing centre aside, proceeded sectionally, starting in the southwest quadrant and moving around the site like a clock face being filled in. Much of the superstructure had not been put into place in three-fifths of the site, and all that had was towards the southwest and west, so there was precious little cover in the north. The roads were raised somewhat. There was some shelter to be found behind the foundation plugs and turrets, and there were a handful of pits dug to facilitate more rapid deployment of the deeper-ranging prefabricated buildings. Other than that, we were caught in the open. Boo had told me much about the combat deployment of Earthcast facilities. He's quite bloodthirsty for a Fiola, hence his frontline attachment. And actually, a similar facility to First Bridgehead had been my first glimpse of a Tau settlement, back on Gormansfass, 2 Tau Sire ago. It's all very smart, but the self-contained nature of the units that made up First Bridgehead was working against us here. If this were an Imperial beachhead, there'd have been trenches for comms lines, piles of construction materials, cumbersome earth shifter equipment. It would have taken weeks to build, but we'd have had plenty to hide behind. As it was, on Mugulath Bay, the south was finished, but here there was nothing between us and the processing centre, and there was nothing again between that and the command node. The guard were in a far better position. An initial foray against the processing centre had been beaten back, and there were several dozen human bodies littering the ground in front of it, although the centre itself had not escaped unscathed. The others were a trickier proposition. Attacking from the jungle, they were deep in cover. We ran over to the Fire Warrior squad we had been assigned to and threw ourselves down. Athelia was there already. He was firing his pulse gun in time with the Shazla Larua. I was furious with him. Heedless of the fire coming in from the guard, I kicked his gun away and rolled him onto his back.
"Don't ever do that again," I said. "We're supposed to work as a team. This is your team, us, not them."
I pointed at the fire warriors.
"Or whoever happens to be fighting a fight you find appealing.
You disobey orders and you compromise our efficiency. Do it again and I'll have you on charges. I couldn't see his face through his helmet, but he nodded. I let go of his shoulder and he rolled back over and retrieved his weapon. The tactical situation was so. We were out in the open, but we had by far the heavier firepower. So much of it was blasting into the woods that the guard were keeping their heads down and their shots were poorly aimed. Secondly, pulse fire is more effective at range than las fire, especially somewhere like Agrellin, where the haze of the atmosphere disperses the coherency of the light beams quite quickly. Every Imperial Guardsman that's lived through one engagement knows this. Las guns are reliable and cheap to make, but the environment can compromise their efficiency. We'd a number of gunships. They'd three heavy tanks in support. One was a blazing wreck already, but the other two had pushed up banks of the clay soil in front of them with their dozer blades. How they managed to get in so close is still under investigation, but I suspect it's simple field craft. The Catachans have a knack for this sort of fighting. They're renowned for it. There were a good number of Sentinel Walkers, another signature of the humans from that particular world. Well, they're hard men, all right. The creatures on their home world make the diseased horrors of Agrellin look pathetic. They wore vests and were bare-armed, barely a scrap of armour among them. Slows them down, they say. Heavily muscled, too, on account of their world's high gravity. The only concession they had made to the toxicity of Agrellin was the respirators each and every one of them had on. Even a Catachan can't breathe the air of Agrellin. Mortar fire was coming in thick and fast. Bad news for us. Fire warrior teams away to the east were copping the worst of it. It was pure good fortune that there'd been a rare delay in the construction, and the atmosphere reprocessors hadn't been flown in. There was a vast network of these planned, Boo said, to clean up the air. A direct hit on one of those, and the battle would have been over in short order. Ohai Isera was there, directing drone squadrons against the guard. The Vezron made a handy shield and kept them occupied. And so we were in something of a stalemate. The lone Riptide assigned to First Bridgehead was hammering away at the trees, but the Catachans were moving around, and they were hard to see, even with all our useful technology. Marker lights, drone and tau-operated, were stripping away some of the benefits they derived from cover, and I thought it wouldn't be long before our superior weaponry and superior fire discipline would drive them back into the forest where they could be hunted down after the conquest, captured and inducted into the Tau-Va at leisure. Despite our difficult position, we'd already blunted their attack. Or so I thought. I was wrong about that. Overlapping patterns of pulse fire started to take their toll. Marker lights painting up the Catachans in bright oranges within our helmet sighting mechanisms. Shells continued falling on us, and we were taking stiff casualties. But we'd annihilated a good platoon's worth of the enemy to their two fire warrior teams' worth on our side. That was when the Imperials revealed their secret weapon. They waited until our Riptide had advanced, jetting forward to support the rush forward of our troops. For that moment, it was on its own and unsupported by the Hammerheads. An Imperial Knight came from the forest to the northwest. The movement of the treetops was the first indication that it was coming, and then it burst through the trees and all hell broke loose. Knights are rare things, great walkers possessed of arcane tech. I'd seen one once before, in the same colours. House Terrin, I think. Bigger than the Riptide, and just as heavily armoured. It opened up with its battle cannon and stubbers as it came charging at our lines. Their weapons are simple, solid, and explosive projectile throwers, but the sheer size of them makes them devastating. All of a sudden, the triumphant feelings we'd been enjoying evaporated. A volley of battle cannon fire slammed into the lead of our three hammerheads, blasting it into shrapnel that went scything into the fire warriors sheltering behind it. As it demolished the tank, the knight's other weapons were running hot, sending a stream of tracer bullets into our lines. The height advantage the Knight had over us made what little cover we had useless, and perhaps a fifth of our fire warriors died in those few moments. Ohai Esera reacted instantly. The two remaining hammerheads took off skyward, firing as they went. She ordered a withdrawal, and we fell back team by team. The turrets of the command node switched to target the Knight, and the Riptide repositioned itself to engage. The Earthcast were very confident about the Riptides, but I don't think they'd accounted for the shielding the Knights have. The Riptide rocked as it sent several ion rounds at the Knight. Each and every one was absorbed by the shields to the front, sending ripples of coloured light playing across the machine's heraldry. Probably the Shazvray in there thought he'd fell the Knight with no problems. Generally, Tau weaponry shreds Imperial armour like tissue paper. Well, he was in for a rude shock. Caught by surprise, he ignited his jets too late, lifting off the ground as the Knight broke into a lumbering run that set the ground shaking, chain fist raised. It carved through the air with a speed that took us all by surprise, crashing into the Riptide's leg and taking it clean off. The blade continued on into the side of the Riptide's jump pack, shearing through the left exhaust, and the battle suit lurched to the left, gases billowing from it and out of my line of sight. We retreated from the Knight in good order. In response, the Catachans poured out of the trees in force, running toward the command node. It looked like they'd abandoned their plans to go for the processing center and were headed right for the command center. That there was an ethereal in there got the Tau all het up. Ohai Esera ordered a ring of steel to be cast around the node. I mean, that was the obvious target, right? The attack on the processing center was an obvious feint. We were all wrong about that.
Gwe Vesa teams 8448, 8897, and 8913 fall back to the processing center,
came ethereal Aun Kira's command. He was stationed up in the command node and hopefully safe.
Your species will be comforted by the presence of its own. Defend the complex against any incidental aggression.
I hear you and respond, Aun Kira. We obey. I signaled to my four remaining men, and we ran back pell-mell from the rippling lines of fire warriors covering each other's redeployment. The other humans of the Kada joined with us. To an Imperial, this sending aliens to guard aliens would have been the height of idiocy, but the Aun knew we would obey. Actually, let me put that another way. It was almost inconceivable to him that we would not do as he commanded. As the most long-standing Gwe Vesa Vray and an ex-captain to boot, I took charge of all three Gwe Vesa squads and deployed my little band of traitors at the processing centre. It was a big building, roughly 100 metres each side, curved corners, a fat-bellied frontage that swelled up four stories to a projecting observation floor. Typical clean Tau architecture. Pathfinder snipers were up on the top deck, so we weren't entirely alone. There was only one real entrance, a set of double doors 6 metres wide and three high. These were securely locked.
What's the situation inside? I radioed.
All calm, Gwe Vesa Vray,
came a Tau voice, oddly modulated by my helmet's translation suite.
We have displayed your presence to the Gwe La captives. Your people are calmed by your actions.
As the Aun wished it, so we make real, I said. I don't always remember the formula responses. I'm better at it now than I was then. I set the other two teams to guard the doors and took Holion, Helena, Goliath and Othelia away to a guard post, the last erection away from the building in the otherwise unfinished quadrant of the city. The post was a small circular pod, slotted into a predefined space on the city's grid. A curved roof topped it, one wraparound window giving a 360-degree arc of vision. A little like a very squat mushroom. You know the type. We went inside. There was enough room for all of us. We'll get a good view from here, I said. Not that I expect much action. We watched the interplay of Laz and Pulsefire around the node.
the sparkle of Tau energy shielding. I regretted not being involved in the firefight going on around the command node. Now they were out of the forest, the Catachans were having the same problems we did, and no sheltering screens of drones to protect them. But by the Emperor, they were fierce. And where they closed to assault range with the Tau, they cut them down with those big jungle knives without mercy. Where we could, we lent fire support, but we were only five, and outside of our guns' effective range. I was mindful that Skilltalker was in the building behind us. I was relieved he was well out of it, and that he had Crix with him.